Blog Talk Radio.
Home that's filled with violence, but not only are women being abused,
men are being abused as well. But as statistics state that it is being underreported how many men are being abused in our homes today. You may say now, okay, Cheryl, what gives you the qualifications to teach on domestic violence? Because I have been through domestic violence more than once in a marriage, and I told God, if you get me out of this, I'll do whatever you ask me to do. So after I got a divorce, my ex-husband went to jail. He served time for killing his girlfriend. That could have been me. I'm sorry for what happened to her, but I thank God for what he did for me because he allowed me to make the great escape. One of the things that we say when we're talking about domestic violence, we're not advocating divorce, but we're telling women that they need to get to a safe haven before you would be killed, because how are you going to do the work of the Father if you're dead? And we don't want you to leave this earth before your season is over with. So going through more than once through a domestic violence marriage, I know the pain and the suffering, the shame that a woman goes through when she's in an abusive relationship. And today we also have my husband here, Gordon Starks. Gordon, say hi to the people.
Hi. I'm glad to be here.
We're going to talk about Gordy has been in sobriety for 40 years, almost 40 years, and he's going to talk a few minutes about substance abuse and what role that alcohol plays in domestic violence. Now, domestic violence is a huge issue. It's a lot to cover. So we're not going to cover everything in just this half-hour segment. What we're going to do is come back on at least two or three times during the month of October so that we can cover each and every aspect of domestic violence. We're going to talk about the physical, the emotional, the verbal, the sexual, the economic abuse, the spiritual abuse that women go through when they're in a domestic violence relationship. And a lot of times people, men will say to the women, well, if you wouldn't do such and such and this and that, then I wouldn't do such and such and this and that. Like, if only you would cook the green peas the way I want them to have cooked. And you might take the pot of food and throw it on the floor. And the woman begins to feel guilty because she feels as if, well, he's right, if only I would have cooked the green peas, the green beans, the collard greens or whatever the way he wanted them to, then I would not have made him mad. Or either they would say, it's the alcohol or drugs. Cheryl, he only does it when he's drinking or whether he's taking some kind of drugs or something like that. Or either he's on prescription medication because he has a serious back ailment and he's gotten addicted to the prescription pills, and so that's making him do it. But that's just an excuse. It's not the alcohol or drugs or the prescription medication that's causing it. It may help it along the way, but men abuse whether they are on alcohol or drugs or not, and women do the same thing. They abuse, because women can abuse as well, whether they're on the alcohol or drugs. Now, some people may say, well, what exactly is domestic violence? Domestic violence is when the physical, emotional, verbal, or economic abuse takes part within your home with someone that's dwelling within the home. So if you are married and your husband lives with you, that's domestic violence. You may have a teenager who's abusing you because they live inside your dwelling. That's considered domestic violence as well, because teens also abuse their parents. And then there's also where the teenager is abused as well and going through domestic violence relationship. That's why women cannot stay in these situations, because you got to women that know that as mothers, you are setting examples to your daughters when she grows up as to this is the time of life that you're supposed to live. I remember one time doing a radio program, and it was a live program, and a lady called in, and we were talking about domestic violence. And she happened to say, this young lady, she said, you know, I don't like nice guys. I don't like guys that pull out the chairs for me or send me flowers or things like that. Those type of men are boring to me. So the radio host, he said, wait a minute, is this a gag? Is this a gag? Call in. And I said, no, wait a minute, just let her continue to talk. So she continued to talk, and she said the reason why she didn't like it is because she's never saw her mother with a nice guy. She said, I never seen my mother with a guy that bought her roses or took her out to dinner or anything. She said, all the men that my mother had in her life were men that would abuse her in some type of way. So she thought that that was normal behavior as she grew up. So the guys that treat her nice, they were boring to her. So when we're in this abusive relationship, women can't be selfish. They can't be self-centered. You got to look around you at your children, because they're going to grow up as adults, and they're going to come along with the same behavior. Now, Gordy's going to talk for a few minutes on, just for a few seconds, on what part alcohol and drugs may play in this. But he's going to come back in a later session when we come back on again, teaching about domestic violence, about the role of alcohol in domestic violence.
Okay, I am Gordon Starks, Cheryl's husband, and I was an alcoholic for over 20 years, and so I know what it's about on both sides now. I've got 40 years of being sober. But alcohol, to whether it's the man or the woman, is only an excuse when they bring out, while I was drinking, I was this. The back of the mind is the violence, and the alcohol, drugs, whatever it is going to bring it out. All it is anger built up inside. And I dealt with a lot of alcoholics after I sobered up, and I found out the same thing. The violence is there because of their upbringing. Their dad, their mom was fighting all the time. They seen it. And so the violence is there unless they take care of it as a young person before they get married. That violence is going to be there, and all they have to do is start drinking or taking drugs, and that violence is going to come out. So this is the good part that I have learned in dealing with the alcoholics and drug addicts. I even went into prisons, and I found out the same thing. 95% of the people in prisons, male and female, is anger brought out with alcohol and drugs. And now I'm going to pass you back to my wife, Cheryl.
Okay. So anyway, that's what Gordy was getting ready to say. But he's going to come back on at another time and finish talking more. But what we were trying to say is that Gordy wasn't in prison. He didn't emphasize that. Is when he went and ministered in the prisons to the people, that what he was going to say about it. But I'm going to quote you some domestic violence statistics. These statistics are from the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence. And these statistics are from not only in a secular world, but they're also in the Christian home as well. Because sin does not discriminate. Sin affects everyone. So statistics state, according to the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence, that every 9 seconds a woman is abused in the United States. So that means from the time that we have come on air, how many women within that 9 seconds have been abused? Okay, 1 in 3 women and 1 in 4 men have been physically abused by their partner, whether it's boyfriend, girlfriend, spouse, or whatever. 1 in 5 women and 1 in 7 men have been severely physically abused by intimate partner. and 1 in 7 women and 1 in 18 men have been stalked. Domestic violence accounts for 15% of all violent crimes. Now, one of their statistics states that domestic violence is most common among women between the ages of 18 to 24. I thoroughly disagree. I have been in the work of domestic violence for over 30 years now, and I have gotten a lot of calls, and also I started a Christian-based shelter for abused women called Decision Center. And one of the things I learned that older women, I'm talking about senior citizen women from 50 on up, are just as abused as the young women. But it seems as if the older women do not report it. So that's why the statistics may be low. Because we used to give prayer breakfasts all the time in regards to domestic violence. And women would, the older women would say, is this what they're saying when they mean domestic violence or abuse, domestic abuse? I never knew that. Henry beats me up every Friday night for the last 25 years while he's drunk. I just thought Henry was being Henry. I never knew that this was domestic violence. It's sad to say, but that's what most elderly senior women believe when it comes to domestic violence. And only 34% of the people who are injured by their partners receive medical care. I'm happy to say that one of the things that the U.S. government has now made a law concerning domestic violence is that if a doctor sees a woman come in with black eyes, a broken arm, or whatever, he is supposed to report it by state law, that he has to report a woman who has been physically abused. Domestic violence is prevalent in every community. I don't care if you're black, white, Hispanic, Chinese, Korean, whatever. It's sin and it does not discriminate. Domestic violence is alive and well within the Christian community. If you would go to church, and the statistics state that 1 in every 3 women are being abused every 9 seconds, go to your church one day or the synagogue or wherever you fellowship and count every woman, 1, 2, 3. And one of those women out of the 3 are being abused. You know, a lot of women have stated that they don't report the abuse, especially Christian women, because their husband may be the pastor, and I don't want to bring shame in within our church home. I don't want to bring shame, period. But I have worked with pastors' wives who are being abused, if I could tell you all some stories. We don't have time on this broadcast today. That's why I said we're going to have to do several male airings on this, and perhaps I'll bring it up at another time. But pastors are one of the top 5. There's military men, lawyers, doctors, police officers, and pastors are the top 5 categories of people who abuse their wives. Now, these are people that we would expect to protect their wives in the type of jobs that they have. But statistics state that they don't protect their wives because domestic violence, like I said, is a sin problem. And until this sin is cleared up, it's going to happen again. You know, the lies, a lot of people are teaching on Black Lives Matter, and that's true, Black Lives Matter, just like any other life. But also the life of a person going through domestic violence, it matters as well. God loves you. He wants you to live in a house that's filled with shalom, that's filled with his peace. He doesn't want you to live in a home where there's violence. You know, in one of my marriages and going through and living with an abusive husband, I would always feel fear every time I turned my touched the doorknob, because I always felt like, what am I going to go through going through the door today? Because what's the temperature going to be? In other words, is he going to be in a good mood today? Is he going to be in one of those bad moods where he's going to feel like he wants to kill me or just go off for any reason at all? But one of the things is that when women are in abusive relationships, you have to love yourself. If you don't love yourself, then you're going to stay with a man that abused you because you're going to feel as if that you're no better than that and that nobody else would want you. But I'm here to tell you that God loves you. He has a plan for your life. And if you're being abused, that plan cannot come forth within your life. A lot of people give up on women that are in domestic violence relationship because the statistics state that the average woman will leave and return 7 times before she's made up her mind that this is it. I'm not going to go through with it anymore. But one time I was at a church teaching on the statistics of domestic violence, and a lady told me, honey, it's not 7 times. It's 18 times. She said, I've worked with women who have left and returned 18 times before she's made up her mind, I'm not going to do this anymore. But women can't, like I said, women can't be selfish. They can't be self-centered when they're going through this because they have to realize that, I'm not going to take this anymore. I got to look out for my children and going through this abusive relationship. Now, one of the things that you may ask yourself when going through domestic violence is physical abuse. That's the most prominent out of all of them. But emotional and verbal can be just as bad as the physical abuse because people don't realize that in physical abuse is when he spits on you. A woman may say, well, is he physically abusing you? No, he just spit on me. Spitting on someone is considered physical abuse. Is he physically abusing you? No, he's just pulling my hair. That's physical abuse. I remember when we had the shelter for abused women, one of the ladies told me that her husband would come to church and sit, they had separated, and she was staying in at our shelter. But she said her husband would come to church, sit behind her on purpose, and the whole time during the service, he would pull her hair. So I called the pastor, and I let him know what was going on, and he said, thank you, Cheryl, for telling me. We'll get on this case right away. So what the pastor did was he informed the ushers that when her husband came in, he was in no way allowed to sit behind her. He had, if he still wanted to come to church there, they put him on the other side of the church, nowhere next to her, so he could taunt her in any way, which I commend the pastor for doing it. But it's the little things, it's the hitting, the choking, the slapping you down, the spitting on you, the pulling your hair, you getting ready to sit down in a chair, and he'll pull the chair out from under you so that you'll miss the chair. I remember my ex-husband pushed me down, and he broke my tailbone. And I still feel the effects of it to this day as the result of what he did in the physical abuse in abusing me. I remember one lady when I had to be at a shelter one time for domestic violence told me she had a stroke. And I asked her, I said, how did you get a stroke from domestic? She said he would abuse her so much and her blood pressure went up that it caused her to have a stroke. And so now as a result of the stroke and her ex-husband abusing her, she's crippled on one side. She's not able to walk. Her arm is paralyzed, and on one side of her body is completely paralyzed just for staying in a relationship. A lot of times we ask women, why do you stay in this relationship? Well, women stay in it because every day is not a bad day. Some days you think like, oh, thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jesus. He's finally changing. He didn't hit me today. He's getting better, not knowing that there's a cycle of abuse that you go through. And unless the man goes through complete deliverance, unless he has a change of heart where he says, God, I don't want to act like this anymore. I don't want to be like this anymore. Change me, change my heart. he's going to abuse again. Because in abuse, there's three cycles. There's the tension building stage. That's where the stage where I could see my ex-husband, he would walk back and forth, pace the floors, and he would smoke a cigarette, and you could see on his face, like, I don't want to hit her, I don't want to hit her, I don't want to hit her. But then after a while would actually come the actual abuse state where he would hit me. Then next comes the state of the romantic stage or the makeup stage, as they call it. And after they physically abused you, that's when they give you the credit card. Oh, honey, I'm sorry, I'll never do it anymore. Here's the credit card. Go out and charge anything you want. He'll send you flowers. He'll send you flowers at home. He'll send you flowers at work. And all the women, especially women, like to see other women get flowers at work. And, oh, honey, you have a good husband. He sends you flowers at work all the time. But not knowing what's going on in secret in this woman's house. Or either he'll go buy her a new car, or we're going to get you the house that you always wanted. Let's go to the mortgage company and talk about the new house that you always wanted. So the woman thinks that during this romantic or makeup stage that he's changing. But like I just said, unless he has a change of heart. And the Bible says you judge a tree by the fruit that it bears. It takes time for a tree to bear fruit. You don't go running back just because he sends you flowers. You don't go running back just because he gives you the credit card, or he said he's going to buy you a new car, or better still, he not only says he's going to buy your new car, but you see the car sitting out there in the driveway. You still don't go running back just because he's done all these things. He's got to have a change of heart. And sometimes it takes months, at least 3 months, 6 months, or even a year. I wouldn't even say 3 months. That's just 90 days. 6 months to a year for you to watch him, Gordy says, at least, because you can see if they're changing. Now, Gordy, why did you say at least?
Because I know I have dealt with that type of person, but even for myself, I didn't even feel comfortable after I sobered up until I had been sober at least a year and did all the changes.
Yeah, and how do you really know when they change and when they have had a change of heart?
When you are talking to them, they're not angry, they're not spouting off anger and so forth every time your spouse or whoever is talking to them.
Mm-hmm. But sometimes that we've got to have is more than just spouting off, as you say, because there is a such thing as a dry drunk.
Yes.
Where he may have or she may have sobered up, but they still have the behavior as an alcoholic. All the traits have not gone. Y'all stop drinking, but I'm still acting like one. That's called a dry drunk.
Right.
You still have the alcoholic behavior. So you got to look at that person, and you got to know your heart, know their heart. And sometimes we don't know their heart as well. It only takes God to reveal the heart of a person. And the enemy, which is behind, who is behind domestic violence, Hasatan, it says the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and to destroy. But Yeshua, Jesus, came that we may have life and that we may have life more abundantly. So this is Cheryl Starks and Gordy Starks broadcasting live from Columbus, Ohio. Tune back in with us on Friday morning at 11:30 a.m. when we'll talk again on domestic violence. Have a good day.
I love me better than that, yeah. I'm going to get my life back. As I look in the mirror, a broken woman I see. Broken down by the streets of life's journey, that broken woman is me. broken pieces and the little bit of strength that remains. But I love me.
I love me.